Welcome to our Good Friday Tender Brace service. My name is Dan Schultz, and I'm one of the pastors at Grace Point Church of God in Edmonton. Tonight, we welcome people from the Church of God across Western Canada. We are glad to be joining together to remember the greatest story. I believe that we can't know the full blessing of wealth unless we've lost everything. We can't be truly thankful for a full stomach unless we have experienced extreme hunger. And we cannot enter fully into the joy of Easter Sunday until we've experienced the depth of despair of Good Friday. This is why we remember Good Friday. Tonight we meet online in a variety of different places, represented by many different ages. Kids, it's great that you are here with us tonight, and I hope you can sit back and relax and enter the story with us. And although you may even be alone tonight, I hope you feel the unity that this night brings. If you have 7 candles, you can now light them if you haven't already. And if you don't have them, that's okay too. Try to set up the room that you're in so that the room can get dark as the evening goes on. We will share in the Lord's Supper, just like the disciples did 2,000 years ago. And we do this to remember Jesus' body, which was broken, his blood, which was shed for us. Communion is a symbol that we partake in to show our devotion to Jesus, our desire to know him more. The juice and bread are symbols, and usually grape juice is used in communion, but tonight, please use anything you have on hand, juice or pop, crackers or bread. The focus is on Jesus, not the symbols. The elements simply but miraculously remind us of what Jesus did for us. And I know we are used to doing this in community, but it is good for us to remember that Jesus first shared this meal around a family table. We join others throughout history during times of persecution and pandemic when public gatherings were not possible, where this family meal continued to nourish and strengthen the faith of Jesus' followers in the face of challenges much greater than our own. And tonight, through Scripture, we will plunge deeper into the shadows of betrayal, agony, arrest, accusation, humiliation, and death. Through songs of worship, we can pour out our hearts and feelings. Through communion, we remember what Jesus taught his disciples, what Jesus did for us. And candles will be extinguished after each passage, and the lights will be dimmed, until even the white Christ candle is extinguished, leaving us in darkness. In the darkness, I will read the first half of Psalm 22, a psalm written by King David hundreds of years before Jesus, a powerful prophecy of what was to come, a vivid illustration of what did occur. And after a time of silence, our video feed will end. Feel free to stay in the moment. Tonight, there is no rush. Take time to contemplate and to remember and to mourn. Because on Sunday morning, we will celebrate that Jesus is risen. And tonight, we focus on his death, that he died for your sins and he died for mine. I would like for you, just for a moment, to think about your story. Each one of you have your own story. And this story includes your birth and school years, graduated years, years of love and pain, joy and sadness. But your story doesn't really start at birth. You have a history. You were born into a family with a family name and origin. And a history that doesn't begin in the place that you live or even here in Canada. Your story can be traced back through the years and the decades, the centuries. You have a story to tell that is bigger than your lifetime. And I would be wrong not to point out that you are in a very, very interesting time in this story. And you probably find yourself in new situations with new emotions. You may be experiencing loneliness, fear, and anxiety. Know that God is present throughout history, And God is with you tonight. And maybe tonight, because of what is going on around you, you will experience the story in a way you never have before. This story, the Easter story, this story of Jesus is about Jesus having entered into the human world, into your world, to change history forever. Let's pray. Jesus, tonight we remember your sacrifice. We remember your body which was broken for us and your blood which was shed for us. Thank you for loving us so much that you chose to die for us. We have hope, real and eternal hope. Hope for whatever circumstance we find ourselves in tonight because of your sacrifice. We love you and desire to glorify you here tonight. Amen. So picture yourself in Jerusalem. Jesus has now for 3 years traveled with his disciples, teaching, preaching, performing amazing signs and wonders. Jesus just entered into Jerusalem to shouts of Hosanna, God save us. And a buzz was in the air. They expected that this is the man who would save them, free them from Roman rule. Jesus is the one who will establish a new kingdom here on earth to bring peace. Jesus will be our king. He will be the king. But there was an unsettled feeling starting to creep in. Jesus had just washed the disciples' feet, and it looks like Jesus is distracted. Something wasn't right. And they find themselves sitting around the table, not knowing that this story is about to take a decisive turn. We start in Matthew 26. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." And Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi?" And Jesus answered, "You have said so." Please join with us as we sing. Grace, what have you done? please take your communion elements in hand. And while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. Please take and eat." Then he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Please take and drink." Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee along with them, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the 3rd time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." And while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them: "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." And going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath. "I don't know the man." After a little while longer, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely, you are one of them. Your accent gives you away." And then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." And immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. And then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. And at that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. And when Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas, to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. And they all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." And all the people answered, "His blood is on us and our children." And then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him, and they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And above his head, they placed the written charge against him. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." And in the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And in the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. And the rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. And when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. And among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons.
You skipped a song, possibly. Did you read two? You extinguished two before we... Yeah, so I don't know which song to do now because we're actually on the lighting for the last song.
Can you go back to the lighting?
We could, yeah, we could either do the last song and then go back and record the one before it after, or... Because you have all of his speeches proper now. It's just we need to do the last two songs. This is the lighting now for the last song, so maybe we should... Or we could do the last song and then go back later and do... No. So
yeah, I missed. Sorry.
It's okay.
Got ahead of myself.
Instead of us singing, he did two candles in a row, so we should have had a song in between. So right now, the lighting we're at should be for the final song, so we could do that. Or if you want to keep them in order on your thing, we could go back one, but we have to record two more songs is what I'm saying, in the right light. Yeah, do the last song? Okay, sounds good. So we'll do Were You There? Sydney, I saw that you were ready for that, so I was just getting nervous I would sing the wrong words. Okay, no worries. Okay, so you... Yeah. Okay. Me?
Song.
Sure.
Okay. Whatever.
So we have to go back to the other lighting.
Yeah.
So what candle number is that?
It was right after the fifth candle. Okay. Number 5.
Perfect.
So you'll be holding on a D chord.
Yeah, that was good.
Actually, yeah, this will be When I Survey, Sydney. No worries.
Okay.
There it is.
Thanks, and
Yeah, sure. Right now? Now just the very end he needs to do, I think.
Yeah, so I'm on, yeah, just the seventh candle is remaining. Yeah, I distinguished the sixth already before going into Were You There.
And then he just relit it for that song.
Yeah, so we're going into As Evening Approached.
Still the same key, right?
As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb, went away. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted you and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All of my bones are on display, and people stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me.